Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, and thank you for tuning in with us as we are going to continue reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, but since we've already had our introduction, let's get into our passage at hand today. Last time we were able to assemble in this fashion, we began a study of Daniel and the Lion's Den. In fact, we've been in the book of Daniel for a little while now. Today we're actually going to talk about Daniel and the Lion's Den, because last week we discussed Daniel's chapter 4 and chapter 5. And at the end of chapter 5, we just need to remind ourselves, because chapter 5 segues into the events of chapter 6, where Belshazzar the king, a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, sees the handwriting on the wall, and he sees this phrase, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, and he has no idea what it means, and neither do any of his paid astrologers, Chaldeans, magicians, whatever you want to call them, but Daniel can interpret it. So, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. And Perez, part of Upharsin, thy kingdom is divided, given to the Medes and the Persians. And since Daniel was able to interpret this, Daniel is given a position of power. He basically is a third part of all of the kingdom, which is not going to make some people happy. And then later that night, Belshazzar was murdered, and Darius the Median takes the kingdom. He is 62 years old. So let's begin Daniel chapter 6. And now, something for us important to realize, when we're introduced to Daniel in the first chapter of this book that bears his name, he's between the ages of 12 to 15. That would have been when he was taken from his homeland and brought into Babylonian captivity. One thing I like about the book of Daniel is we see a long time of Daniel's life. Daniel is now an old man. I've heard it estimated up to in his 70s, maybe even 80. I don't exactly know, but I know he is no longer a young man. And so Daniel 6 in verse 1, it pleased Darius the king to set up over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So it's kind of a way for him to deal with other kingly matters. He sets up 120 princes to oversee this kingdom. And over these princes, there are three presidents, verse 2, of whom Daniel was the first. Remember, he's going to have a third of the kingdom. So if you have 120 people under you, that's part of your political arena. And then you have three people over them, and then above them is the king. So you can kind of see a pyramid scheme here forming. Daniel was the first, and the princes would give account unto them, and then that the king should have no damage. Basically, they're the middlemen, and if it was only something very important, they would have to approach King Darius. But Daniel, verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes, because he had an excellent spirit, a spirit was with him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. God is using Daniel, putting him in a position of power. But there's a problem. Now, the problem is not on God's end, and the problem is not with Daniel. The problem is with the enemies of Daniel. Then the presidents, verse 4, and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. There's a problem. And there's no real easy way to put it, and I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be ugly. But remember, Daniel is a Jew. He was in Babylonian captivity that is now headed by the Medes and the Persians. Regardless of who's in control, Daniel is a foreigner. And especially at that time, racial tensions could be very high. And so these Medes and Persians and Babylonians, they don't like that a foreigner is in a high position of power. In fact, preferred over them. Another problem, which is really for Daniel's opponents, but the other problem is they couldn't find anything wrong with him. They couldn't find any dirt on him. So these men said, verse 5, that we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Well, they're probably right in that, but the problem is that Daniel doesn't do anything wrong in the sight of God. I mean, Daniel's not perfect. Daniel makes mistakes. But all in all, Daniel's doing what God is commanding for him to do. So verse 6, these presidents and princes, they assembled together to the king. Now notice, this is going to be a private meeting, because Daniel is somehow not going to be there. And they said, King Darius, live forever. They're going to puff him up. That's what you'd always do when you'd go there before the king. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have counseled together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. I'm not sure if everybody mentioned in verse 7 was actually there to present it, but it was presented with the idea of everybody is behind this. Because I know Daniel's not there. And he says, what's going to happen for 30 days? You cannot petition any god, any other man, save for the king. If you do, you'll be cast into the lion's den. Now, we have an interesting phrase in verse 8, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. That was basically a way, what they thought a surefire way, to make sure that something signed into law would be powerful and would be remaining in effect. So he signs the decree. It's ironic he hastily signs it when they were trying to prevent things from being hastily done. But regardless, he signs the decree. We're going to take a break here. Coming up on the other side of this, we will continue reading the Word, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around with us as we're going to continue reading the Word. We're in Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, where we find ourselves ready for. And I want you to notice something I love about Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that you can't petition any other god or man for 30 days, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. A couple things I want us to note here. Daniel knew that this had been written. Daniel knew that he was going against the law of the land, but Daniel also knew he was doing what he should in the Word of God. I love that phrase, as he did aforetime. In other words, Daniel hasn't changed a single thing. Daniel is still doing what Daniel's always done. I'm reminded of David in the 55th Psalm in the 17th verse, paraphrasing. He says, morning, noon, and evening do I pray unto thee. We see that Daniel prayed at least 3 times a day. He did not let his new role change his worship to God. And he opened his window and he faced Jerusalem and he prayed. He wasn't home, friends, but he's facing home, and so that gives him some comfort. 3 times are thought to be the time of the morning before you would have had a burnt offering, at the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at sunset. That's kind of what's generally been thought the times you'd pray. And notice, these enemies of Daniel knew it because they assembled, in my mind, they're right below his window. And they found Daniel praying, making supplication before God. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And they said, hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then they answered and they said before the king, that Daniel, which is one of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. They run to the king to, first off, make sure the law is still in effect. It is. And then they throw Daniel under that bus. And the king heard these words. He was sore displeased because he liked Daniel. And so he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored for a day from the going down of the sun. He tried to free Daniel, but the problem is he was in a legal bind because he had signed something, and not even the king could undo a law of the Medes and the Persians. Verse 15, these men assembled, and they said, know, O king, what the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree or statute of the king may be established it may not be changed. And the king commanded, they bring Daniel unto him to the den of lions. But I want you to note what Darius says to Daniel. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Darius was a 100% believer in God, because if he was a 100% believer in God, friends, he wouldn't have signed this decree into effect to start with. But at least here he is realizing there is something special about Daniel and the relationship he has with his God. But nonetheless, the law is you have to be thrown into the den of lions. And so a stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. And those of his lords, they have sealed him in, not to be tampered with. And the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. They tried to bring in musical instruments. That didn't work. They tried to bring in everything that they think. It's been speculated they might have even brought in concubines, dancing girls, whatever. Nothing could make him better. And the king rose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions, because he's thinking, this person that is his highest-ranking government official, save for himself, is dead. And he came to the den, verse 20, and cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver thee out of the mouth of lions? I can almost just see his voice crack when he says that. And Daniel yells out from the bottom of the den, O king, live forever. I imagine Darius rejoicing. And he said, My God has sent his angel that has shut the lion's mouth, for they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel says, I'm innocent. He says, My God sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions. Then the king was exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. Daniel's not hurt. Now, you will experience people in this life who will love to tell you the story of Daniel, and then at the end they'll say, oh, by the way, those were weak lions. They'll say they're old lions. They'll say they're lions that had been fed to their heart's content right before they threw Daniel in, and therefore they didn't eat Daniel. And that's well, there's a word for that in the Hebrew, and it's called hogwash, because it's not true. Watch this. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought these men, these princes, the other three presidents, and probably these 120 governors, satraps, and the like, they're mentioned at the beginning of the chapter. And they cast them into the den of lions, but not only them, their children and their wives. And notice what the Bible says. The lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces ever they came at the bottom of the den. That tells me that had the angel of God not shut the mouth of these lions, Daniel would have been devoured. But Daniel had done nothing wrong in the sight of God. And so Daniel is rewarded for that. And those enemies of Daniel, they do not fare well. So notice, King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages, verse 25, that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius sets up a decree similar to Nebuchadnezzar's. Now, he did not, scholars argue, become monotheistic, but he does recognize God is supreme and others below him. Now, he's still not right in that, but he's getting there. And God allowed Daniel to prosper in the reign of Darius and then in the reign of his successor. So now that's four people that Daniel has been successful in their reign. And that concludes the story of Daniel in the lion's den, a great story of comfort and hope for people of all ages. Now, starting in the seventh chapter, which we will not pick up in this study, maybe at a later date we will, to the end of the book, focus on dreams and visions. And that's a great study in and of itself, but time has escaped us for today. I do appreciate you being a part of this study. If you would like to catch it again, that's all on my website, thejustinreedshow.com. That's thejustinreedshow.com. Click on where it says Programs, and then click on Reading the Word. Thank you for joining us. I'll quickly leave you with a passage from Numbers chapter 6. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. Please continue to pray and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.